This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Philip. It's just gone past 7:48 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 4th of February. And staying very much on the topic of vaccines, Malaysia is still in the midst of preparing for a large-scale vaccination program to inoculate its citizens against COVID-19. So against this backdrop, many players are keen on getting involved in the process. Even firms that have no experience in the pharmaceutical or healthcare space. So this includes the likes of Bintai Kinden, Hoa Genting, MyEG, and Yongtai, which came on The Breakfast Grill very recently last Monday. And you can listen to that conversation on the BFM app or on Spotify.
And earlier this week, Pharma Niaga called on the government to look into non-pharma companies hoping to venture into vaccine distribution. Now, to that end, the Science, Technology and Innovation Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has said the government cannot control if any company makes commercial arrangements with the drug makers. However, he does caution that all companies would have to obtain approval from Malaysian regulators. So is more private partnership in vaccine distribution going to be a plus? And what regulations would be necessary for it to work effectively?
So for some insights into this, we're speaking this morning to Azrul Mohamed Khalid, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Like we just mentioned just a few minutes ago, I mean, Pharma Niaga, they called on the government to look into the growing number of non-pharma healthcare firms seeking to get involved in vaccine distribution. Do you think that the COVID-19 vaccination process would actually benefit from more private company participation?
Well, morning to both of you. I share Pharma Niaga as well as the general industry's concern regarding this influx of non-healthcare related companies wanting to claim involvement in vaccine distribution. I think the existing public health emergency is plagued by opportunists who are eager to make a bundle of money from people, companies, and government, I think, that are desperate to improve the current COVID-19 situation. I'm not surprised that there are companies with no background or experience in healthcare whatsoever that have emerged out of the woodwork to offer and claim to be distributors for vaccines. As you know, there have been property companies, engineering firms, a government services company, a steel manufacturer, and even one so-called exclusive vaccine distributor whose main business is making bamboo products like blinds, tables, and chairs. I mean, while I'm all for more private sector participation to increase the diversity of supply and to provide choice for people wanting to be vaccinated, I must say that the situation is bordering on the ridiculous, honestly.
So ridiculousness is, I think, the name of the game here. Really, then, the question here is, you firmly believe that private companies in this space really shouldn't get involved in vaccine distribution? It's very hard in this case in Malaysia.
Well, it goes back to making informed decisions. I mean, as you mentioned just now in your introduction, you know, people are going to have to make informed decisions about who brings in and who do you purchase vaccines from. Would you purchase a HPV vaccine, for example, which is dealing with cervical cancer, from a company that sells, you know, toiletries, you know? So it really is going to be something that we're going to have to make these decisions. And certainly it needs to be regulated somewhat.
And talking about regulations, right, do we know what bodies are in charge of this and what regulations are there or should there be in place to ensure that all parties involved in the process are equipped to distribute vaccines? Because so far, our minister has said that these are commercial arrangements and they are not going to stop it.
Well, Xiaoning, you know, you mentioned just now a statement from the government already, and we know that the Ministry of Health has already had to issue a denial after one of these companies had claimed to receive a clearance letter of permission to import, distribute, sell, market, and use COVID-19 vaccines in Malaysia. So in Malaysia, we have the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency, the NPRA, which has got to be the most famous government agency right now when it comes to COVID-19, and is actually the agency with a mandate to approve registration of pharmaceutical products for use in Malaysia. So to date, and I have to remind listeners out there, only the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, or Comirnaty as the brand name is called right now, has been conditionally approved by the NPRA for use in this country. So the NPRA are tasked to ensure the safety, effectiveness, and quality of the pharmaceutical products, including vaccines, are up to standard. So this agency, is considered one of the best in this region, and known sometimes infamously for its strict adherence to the standards. So you ask about regulations, right? So we have currently the Control of Drugs and Cosmetics Regulations of 1984, which states that any company that wants to manufacture, import, or wholesale any registered product needs to have a manufacturer's license, import license, or wholesale license to do so. So obviously, in this case, you would need to have, at the very least, an import license, which is issued by the Drug Control Authority. But it does seem of late that nothing seems to prevent anyone from being a distributor for vaccines, including not having a commercial healthcare track record. So that's quite worrying.
So Azra, I just want to be a little bit clearer. This NPRA, as you say, the most famous government agency at this moment, there are different, of course, standards, right, in terms of manufacturing it, distribution of the vaccines. So is it possible that some of these non-healthcare companies could actually obtain the level of approval required for distribution, which I presume is less onerous?
Well, certainly when it comes to distribution, it is, as you say, less of a particular issue. If you're wanting to register and launch the product in Malaysia, you have to go through NPRA, and the product itself needs to go through that rigorous process. And the dossier has got to be like a meter thick, you know, and it's one thing to register the products, another thing to distribute. So it seems that the yardstick that's used for distributors is much more it's much shorter than the registration of the product itself. But, you know, one of the things that I would like to stress, you know, I will complain like the next person about the red tape, which, like any country's bureaucracy, you know, exists in voluminous lengths and seems to delight in tormenting the private sector. But in this case, you know, the regulatory hurdles which exist in managing human vaccines are intended to provide protection against possible fraud, injury, or harm. So the amount of desperation that is currently present, I have to emphasize, it's too easy, really, to take advantage of the situation and make the argument for regulations to be bent or sidestepped for expediency. And there lies the danger. Human vaccine distribution should be treated seriously. You want those supplying any kind of vaccine to private companies, the government, public, the general public, or the government for that matter, to be credible and trusted. It really shouldn't be a 2 ringgit company registered with SSM last week, or a company totally unrelated to healthcare. You compromise on this, and you will undermine not only the integrity of the Malaysian healthcare system, but most importantly, the public trust in the vaccines themselves.
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head, which is it's about relevant and necessary red tape. Do you think because this is coming from left, right, center, from all these guys without any credibility, the ways to stop it, what does the vaccine do for you? So can the government regulate to say, look, if you need to go through our channels for you to do the travel to access vaccine passports? And so this whole vaccine distribution line then just falls apart because there's no real proper demand or utility?
Well, I think it's premature to conclude that. For the moment, the government is trying its best to regulate importation and bringing in human vaccines. So there is a certain amount of control there, especially since the supply is really through the government's channels at the moment. But there's going to be a time in the future where we want to be able to carve out private options, you know, where the private sector, you yourself, you know, you don't want to wait in line for government vaccination program. You want to be able to vaccinate yourself. And there's going to be a very large market for that. And right now, we don't see any plan from the government at the moment to better regulate that. I think we have to do better in that respect because these companies are able to announce through press releases and press conferences that they're having these exclusive deals. And the only thing that I can see in common with these announcements is basically their stock value increasing after they make the announcement, because people feel, oh my God, there's another company and it looks good. But when you look at the background of these companies, well, it's not exactly what they're actually doing. And, you know, I honestly, you would actually have to make a decision whether or not you purchase vaccines, which is supposed to be life-saving, from companies that are really not in the business at all.
But Azra, is there no space for this public-private partnership when it comes to vaccine rollouts? Not necessarily in the vaccine, the actual vaccines itself, but, you know, we even saw PWTC, for example, coming out to say that there could be a vaccination centre. What kind of opportunities are there or that could help, actually?
Well, there's many possibilities here, and we definitely should not and cannot depend solely on the government for the rollout of these vaccines. There should be a deliberate effort to develop public-private partnerships which aim to increase the diversity of supply, create and expand that public, that private option for vaccines, as I mentioned, as soon as possible. And this definitely would involve, the private hospitals, the GPs, the pharmacies. And but we really need to look at the track record and background of the companies involved, and see where we can actually address those gaps in coverage. I give you an example, the pharmacists and community pharmacies are underappreciated, underutilized, and they should be roped in to help vaccinate their communities and share the burden and responsibility of vaccination. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of companies that have been overlooked when it comes to these partnerships. And obviously, a lot of people are taking advantage of this oversight, and wanting to position themselves to be the so-called exclusive distributor of certain vaccines. And we've got to watch out.
Okay. Thank you for your time. That was Azrul Mohammad Khalid of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Up next, the 8 a.m. news bulletin, followed by the Breakfast Grill, where Chuang speaks to the CEO of Poop Purveyor. That's happening in a few minutes. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.